been true when storms have assailed. But this holy love that amazes me is that He loves me even when I fail. He'll never let go of my hand till I stand in heaven's fair land, till I'm safe forevermore on that happy golden shore. Oh, He'll never let go. And I believe He placed all the galaxies. That same hand that holds this world in space is that same hand that's holding me. He'll never let go.
Song tonight. Psalm chapter 90. No, it's not in the Gospels that we're going to deviate from the life of Christ tonight. My mind has been on the close of this year, 2005, the beginning of 2006, now just a few short hours away. And I want to go over some thoughts tonight with you concerning a different subject than the life of Christ. Psalm chapter 90. And look, if you will, please, beginning with verse number 7. Verse number 7, we'll read down through verse 12. The Bible says, "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I want to draw your attention to that little phrase in verse number 9. Jumped out at me some weeks ago. I was reading this passage of Scripture. The Bible says in that second half of that verse, we spend our years as a tale that is told. I talked to the staff in staff devotions about this little phrase right here. We spend our years as a tale, a story that is told. So let me talk to you for a little bit tonight, a very practical lesson. This is not a deep Bible study, but a very practical lesson tonight entitled Our Autobiographies. Your autobiography and mine. Because we spend our years as a tale that is told. A story being written. Let's pray and talk about this tonight. Dear Father, speak to our hearts. Thank You for this past year. It's been a wonderful year. We thank You for every part of it, Lord. Even the parts that we might consider difficult, tough, painful. We know that everything, Lord, works together for good to them that love You and who are the called according to Your purpose. We anticipate a brand new year full of good things as well. We ask and pray that, Lord, we will live as You want us to in 2006. Help us to take this simple thought tonight to heart. And, Lord, may it make us a little different because we were in church on this last Wednesday night of this year. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. And amen. This psalm or song is one of a handful that was penned by Moses. Now, that's compared to the more familiar writers of the Psalms like David and Asaph. The heading of your Bible, if you have headings over the Psalms, I like what it says in this one. It just says, "A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God." I like that. And so this was a prayer of Moses. In this prayer, he is recalling the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. That's what he's praying about and recalling. I'm not sure exactly when it is written. If it's written at the end of this 38-year wandering period. If it's in the middle, I'm not sure. Probably could have found that out if I'd done a little bit more study on it. But look at verses 7 and 8. Notice what he said here. "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." Moses watched the children of Israel as 40 years passed. Let me say that, 38 years passed. 37 years, okay? "And the men who were 20 years of age and older at Kadesh Barnea," remember that? "They kept dying. God told them to go into Kadesh Barnea. They rejected God's choice and God's will. The spies came back with their negative report. And God was unhappy. And God said, all the men ages 20 years of age and older will die in the wilderness. They will never set foot in the land of Canaan. So every time a death was reported, every time a new grave was dug, the entire congregation was reminded of how angry God was with them because of their unbelief. It took 37, 38 years for all those men who were 20 years of age and over at Kadesh Barnea. It took 37, 38 years to die. Every time one died, it was a reminder of how angry and upset God was at their unbelief. You say, "But Pastor, was God still angry? Is that how God is?" No, because He does not hold a grudge. But some sins have severe consequences. And they committed a sin, and God said what the consequences would be, and over a time period of 37 or 38 years, those consequences played out. You see, you can't stop that. That's why you got to be careful. Amen. In your youth, you're not going to be a perfect young person, but you want to avoid the sins that have 37 or 38 year consequences. And it's not that God is always angry. It's just that these are the consequences. They won't be changed. I mean, here it was. I mean, look at what he said in verse number 9. He said, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath." You see, justice had to be handed out until it was complete. When God said every man who was 20 years of age and over would die in the wilderness, that's what had to happen. If it took 138 years, that's how long they would have been in the wilderness. Because, see, God's system of justice is not like ours. See, whatever God says is going to happen, is going to happen. All right. That, by the way, that might discourage these folks from going to prison if you had to take them clothes and food. Instead of giving them three meals better than you and I eat every day, and weight rooms and swimming pools and basketball courts and racquetball courts and basically providing a beautiful living for them. That's ridiculous here in America. But anyway, you know, these consequences had to be played out. Every stopping place became a graveyard. You understand that? Every time they traveled a little while and stopped to pitch their tents, some of these men died. They became a graveyard. Tombstones were left behind. Their days were wasted away. 37 years. 38 years. And Moses says here at the end of verse number 9, "We spend our years as a tale that is told. The 38 years of wandering in the wilderness told a tale. It told the story of a rebellious, unbelieving crowd of men who turned back from the will of God, and it cost the entire congregation 37 or 38 years of just treading water. Moses said, we spend our years as a tale that is told. And boy, I got on that thought again this afternoon, and I tell you what, I probably shouldn't be doing this, but I am. I'm just walking on eggshells right now. You know, Brother Hinton talked about a pastor having a vision, and where there is no vision, the people perish. And he's right. And I have a vision for this place, and I am pounding the Lord right now to find out when is the proper time for us to make the move, to make the improvements across the parking lot, to put the new building up. It's got to happen. It's just got to happen. We have Sunday school classes in all the offices just about, and I mean the rooms and everything. You know how it is on Sunday, and the building is used and reused. And when I get back in that back hallway out there and that gymnasium and see what our school kids have to be in school in every day, my heart just it's got to happen. And I'm waiting on God's timing. I don't want us as a church to come to the place where God says, move ahead, and us go the other direction. That scares me to death. Scares me to death. That's what happened here. 37 or 38 years, Moses said, we spend our years as a tale that is told. What is your tale telling? What is your story writing? What's the story that's being written? We're treading water. Wandering around for 37 or 38 years. Why? Because we had a group of men who turned back from the will of God at Kadesh Barnea. Didn't go into the land of Canaan according to the will of God. Now the thought tonight is this, people. What kind of tale are your years telling? What kind of tale are my years telling? What kind of story are you writing with your life? What kind of story am I writing with my life? You see, each of us is writing a story with the years of our lives. A tale is being told. What is your story? What is mine? How will the chapter that we wrote in 2005 affect the story of our life? Will the year 2006 add a positive or a negative chapter to the story of your life? Because all our years are spent as a tale that is told. They all accumulate and pile up together to tell some story, some tale being written. You see, a biography is a book written by someone about another person's life, usually after that person's death. An autobiography is the story of your life written by you. And every one of us is writing an autobiography. It may not be with pencil. It may not be on paper. It may not be typed out on a computer program. But every person in this room is writing a story. You're writing your autobiography. Your life is spinning a tale. Your years are accumulating together to write a story. What is your story? Each one of us is writing a book with the years of our lives. And as we close out the last few days of 2005, and we prepare and get ready for the early days of 2006, we would do well to see how our story is developing. Do the next chapters need to be altered to save us embarrassment? Do the next chapters need to be altered to save us from just treading water? What are the years of my life writing? What are the years of your life writing? Do we need to press on as we've been doing? What needs to happen as we look at the story that you and I have been writing and developing over these past several years, for however many years old you are? Everybody is writing an autobiography with your life. All of us are. What is yours saying tonight? Let me give you a few random thoughts on this thought tonight. Number one, everybody's book will be read. See, Romans 14:7 says this, For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth unto himself. Now, I know there's some interpretations of this scripture in the context of that passage that are different than how I'm using it tonight, but I'm not violating a principle here to make the application along this line tonight. Look, none of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. I'm sorry if you would like for your book to remain unopened and to be disposed of without being read, but that is not possible. Your story will make an impact on someone for good or for bad. The story I'm writing is going to bring encouragement to somebody, or it's going to bring discouragement. It's going to be a stepping stone, or it's going to be a stumbling block. God forbid that I write a story with my life that's a stumbling block to another child of God. God forbid that. Everybody's book will be read. You see, the idea that this is my life, and all that matters is that I do what I want with it, that kind of mentality, friend, is off base. And it does not keep you and me from telling a tale with our years. If we have that mentality, well, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I'm doing what I want because it's my life. You know what that kind of mentality means? It just means that your story or mine will be one of selfishness. It'll have no positive impact, no encouraging impact, no uplifting impact. You cannot keep your life from writing a story that will be read. Amen. And boy, I tell you what, this Christmas season has just proved this point true to me over and over again. As my brother came from Ohio, my mom and dad have been here, and we were talking about people, relatives of ours that are dead and gone. Their life wrote a tale. Their years told a story. That story still lives. They're in heaven. Everybody's story will be read. You can't have the mentality, I don't give a rip, and it's really nobody else's business. No man has that opportunity. Nobody lives to himself. No man dies to himself. Your story is going to be read and remembered. How are you writing? We have a tradition at our house. Every Christmas season, we watch the Christmas Carol, and we watch the one where George C. Scott plays the part of Ebenezer Scrooge. To me, that is the ultimate Christmas Carol classic. That guy can act. And it's a tremendous, tremendous thing. And there is a powerful dialogue at the very opening of that Christmas Carol scene there. A powerful dialogue between Fred and his uncle Ebenezer. You know who I'm talking about? Fred, you know, and then Ebenezer. And Fred comes in the place of business there, and he greets Bob Cratchit, you know, and then he goes over to wish his uncle a Merry Christmas, and bah, humbug, you know. And if I had my way, every idiot who went about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled in his own pudding and a stake of holly through his heart. Remember, you know what I'm talking about, you know? I mean, I've watched it enough times I can almost recite it to you, amen? And so I fear of becoming like Scrooge, amen? The big thing now with my wife is, what are the grandkids going to call us? And I keep telling her they're going to call us what they decide to call us. You don't really make that choice, you know. And so she says, I'm going to be called Grammy. Grammy. And I said, what's that going to leave me? Grumps. And George C. Ebenezer Scrooge, Grumps, it fits. Amen. So, and Fred, he is offended by that. And he's shocked that something so awful would come out of his uncle's lips. And I forget exactly what he says. And Scrooge replies to his nephew Fred, you keep Christmas in your way and let me keep it in mine. And then Fred, he burst out, keep it. You don't keep it. And Scrooge then says very ugly, then let me leave it alone. He's talking about the celebration of Christmas. But friend, that mentality sometimes works its way into people's thinking about their lives. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. Don't upset my comfort zone. Don't upset how I live. Don't seek to change anything in me. This is my life, and I will live it as I see fit. You leave me alone. But friend, that is not possible. Your book will be read. Your life will write a story, so will mine, and people will read it and remember it. No man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. Your story is being written. It will be read. It is probably being read by someone even now. I'm talking about those of you that are 16. Those of you that are 20. Sure it is being written. That's when people, your name comes up in a conversation and folks say, man, that young guy's serious for the Lord. He's got a good testimony. That's a tale being told. Your life is telling a tale. Are you with me tonight, church? From a young man's name coming, that guy, he's not serious. He couldn't care less about his mother and dad. He couldn't care less about this or that. Your life is writing. I don't care. You are writing a story. So am I. And people are reading it right now. What is our life story say? Jim Elliott, the famous martyred missionary to Ecuador with the other four men, Nate Saint and the others, landed there and were killed by the cannibals and so forth and so on. He made famous that quote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And friend, you cannot keep the book of your life closed. You cannot keep the pages of your life concealed. Neither can I. The book is being read at work where you men work. Day after day, the book of your life is being read in your neighborhood, around town, the people with whom you do business. The years of our lives are as a tale that is told. What kind of story are you writing? Everybody's book will be read. You with me tonight? You with me? Number two, let me say this tonight. Everybody's book needs to have a chapter entitled Born Again. Everybody's book needs to have a chapter entitled Born Again. You see, in the story you're writing with your life, your book must not go without a chapter entitled Born Again. It should have that chapter in the book, and that chapter should contain the details of how you got saved. And maybe you don't remember every little detail of the place, the time, the exact moment, but there needs to be in that chapter of your life entitled Born Again, there needs to be that experience where Jesus entered your heart and how the Holy Spirit of God birthed you into God's family. That's got to be in your book. The story of someone's years. Without that chapter included in it, lost my train of thought there, is a lost life. Now, wait a minute. I don't mean just lost for eternity. I mean lost here on earth. You see, Mark 8:36 says this, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You see, you could have countless chapters in your book. They could be entitled Financial Success. They could be entitled Intellectually Brilliant. They could be entitled Famous and Renowned. One might be entitled Powerful Mover and Shaker. One might be entitled Record-Setting Athlete. Another one might be entitled Positive Community Influence. But if you had a chapter with every one of those headings and you did not have one entitled Born Again, that means your life story means nothing. Think of it. Nothing. Zero. Because if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, it's profited him nothing. Whereas you may not have any chapter entitled Financial Success. You may not have any chapter entitled Intellectually Brilliant. You may not have any chapter entitled Famous and Renowned or Powerful Mover and Shaker or Record-Setting Athlete or Positive Community Influence. But if you have a chapter in your book that says Born Again, at least your life counted for something down here. Are you with me tonight, church? Everybody's book needs to have a chapter entitled Born Again. Does yours have a book? Does yours have a chapter entitled Born Again? In that chapter is the experience of how you came to Jesus recorded in there. Friend, don't you think that you can overlook that chapter or neglect it and everything will turn out all right, because it won't. Amen. Number three, let me say this tonight. Use your youth to write some wonderful chapters in your book. You say, where do you get that thought? How about Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Look at verse number 10. You're in Psalm chapter 90. Look at verse number 10. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80. That's 80. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow. Just ask the people, the normal person who lives beyond 70 to 80. That's pretty good years possibly. But when they get beyond 80, and it's 82 and 84 and 87, the body just begins to rebel against that. If they go beyond that 80 mark, their days are laboring without labor and strength, the Bible says. Tough years. And look, that does not mean, you know, that the years 35 to 70 are no count. But it does mean that you should make it count for Christ early in life. While you are 15 to 35, write some positive chapters in your book right now. Yeah. Write it now. Because you don't know how long you'll have your health. You know how long you'll have the vigor and energy and the strength that you have now. What a shame to have that all taken away and then languish in a wheelchair or in a sickly condition, having wished I had made my life count for Christ at age 15 and 20 and 25 when I had strength and vitality. But I wasted those years. Write some positive chapters in your book now. Don't have the mentality, I'll get serious later. But right now it's time for me to party and sow some wild oats. Listen here, young person. It may take you longer to get serious than you plan. You can't gamble. When I get to be 25 or 28, I'll settle down and I'll really make this thing count for Christ. You can't decide that. It may take you longer. In fact, you may never get serious about writing the right kind of life, right kind of story with your life, if you plan to do it someday. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Write some chapters. It's a blessing to me to know young people, both here in this church and other places I've had the opportunity to go and preach, who've got this thing down. They're writing positive chapters right now with the story of their life, making it count for Christ. Let me say number four tonight. Make your story one of wisdom. Make your story one of wisdom. Look at verse number 12. The psalmist, the Moses here in his prayer, he said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You see, the wise person is one who realizes that time passes quickly. So he said, Lord, teach me to number my days. What you're supposed to do, folks? Number your days and gauge how the story of your life is developing. Why? It may be that some changes need to be made, and made quickly. That's why you got to number your days. You see, we like to count the numbers in our checkbooks. We like to count the numbers in our savings account. We like to check the numbers on our dividends and calculate the return on our investments. We like to remember our accomplishment in certain areas. But the Bible says the wise man learns to number his days. Number the days. Man must be taught to do that. Lord, help us to number our days. Why? Because we're prone to spend them foolishly. And once they're gone, they're gone. I've told you before how I wish I could go back and rewrite the years as a 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old. I can't alter one word written during the chapters of the years of my life. I can't change one word of it. So I better number my days. I've got to make my life count. I can't change the wasted years. 2005 is over. Do you remember its beginning? Seems like only yesterday. Do you remember the promises or the commitments that were made at the beginning of 2005? Did you consciously attend to those promises? Did you consciously attend to those commitments? I'll tell you what, if you didn't consciously attend to them, if you didn't consciously remember those commitments and promises, I'll tell you what you're prone to do, neglect them and overlook them. And now here it is. Oh my goodness, it's December 28th. At the beginning of this year, I said this, 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 and this about my life this year, and I haven't done it. And it's the 28th of December. I can't put that thing in reverse. And there is no whiteout. 2006 is here. The wise person has to learn to number their days. Some things should not be put off any longer. It's time to add a new chapter. You've been thinking about some changes. Number your days. Apply your heart to wisdom. There's still time for a happy ending. Yeah. 2005 might have been wasted for God, but 2006 doesn't have to be. Just a few days we begin that chapter. My life will write another tale, another chapter in the story that my life is writing. So will yours. Did you ever get a hold of a book that had a pretty decent beginning to it? And then you got into it, man, it got so complicated or boring or just absolutely uninteresting, and you just plowed through it because you want to always finish what you begin. You got down to the last three or four chapters of that thing. Man, as you got to the last three or four chapters of that book, those chapters became compelling, and you almost got to the place where you just about couldn't put the book down, and you wanted to get to the end of that thing and realize how it was going to turn out, because it just got compelling and more compelling and more compelling. And when you got to the end, you closed that book and you said, man, what a story. It's time to do that with your life. Number your days. Number your days. This past year was spent in foolishness. This past year was spent in mediocrity. I told the Lord I wanted to read my Bible every day this year. I figured I probably wouldn't get every single 365 days, but man, I am ashamed, maybe you're thinking, of how few days I actually fulfilled that promise because I didn't stay on top of it. I didn't look at it. I didn't consciously put my mind on it. I said I was going to do this, and I said I was going to do this, and I said that I wanted to at least win one soul to Christ with my witness, or three or four this new year. Now, the whole year has passed, and I've forgotten those. Boom. Well, guess what? What, 72 hours? 72 plus 4, about 76 hours. You're going to turn the page. There's a brand new chapter with all blank pages, 2006. And there's time to put a good chapter together. The wise person thinks about how quickly life is passing. And for you young people, it doesn't seem that quick. And I can remember I've said before, it seemed like Christmases came 5 years apart when I was a kid. We'd get through December 25th, and it seemed like it was 5 years to the next one. Get through a birthday, it seemed like it was 5 years to the next one. Add a few years and a few pounds and a few gray hairs. How quick are they coming now? And the wise man has to sit here tonight and think to himself, boy, you know what? Really, this point right here is more for the older folks than it is the younger ones. The wise man has to sit here tonight and think, boy, oh man, oh man. Whatever I'm going to do, I better do. My life is writing a story. I want to make sure the last chapter reads right. Amen. Our autobiography. We're turning the page to a new chapter in just a few hours. What's the tale of your life? Say. What are you writing? What's being read by people as they read our life? Moses said, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus stays in heaven and you and I go on to be with the Lord? Wouldn't it be wonderful if 5, 10, 15 years after our passing, people were still rejoicing over the book that we wrote? Still being helped, still being blessed by the tale that we told. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Simple thought for us tonight as we close out this year. May God help us to add a great chapter in 2006. What have you been thinking about? What did you promise God at the beginning of 2005? What has been neglected? What has been overlooked? That's what man is prone to do. What's overlooked? What did you intend to do, but you didn't consciously put it in your mind, and because of that, you didn't get done. And now you can't go back and redo it, but there's a brand new year coming, and the page is turning for a brand new chapter. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Let me ask you a question. What motivates you? What motivates you spiritually? Sometime, somewhere, someplace, every person needs to come under the power of some truth that literally changes their life. Somewhere, sometime, somehow. And I'm hoping that tonight, maybe a little thought like this might be the truth. Somebody in this church comes under the power of this one truth and determines to spend their years writing a delightful tale. A tale of unselfishness and joy and love. A tale that motivates, uplifts, and encourages, as opposed to a tale of selfishness and discouragement. How's your autobiography coming tonight? The Spirit of God put His finger on something that needs to be altered, changed. You don't want that found in the year 2006. Now's the time to let God help you with it. Does your book have a chapter entitled Born Again? Are you saved? Anybody here tonight said, Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. If I died right now, though, where I'd spend eternity. Please pray for me tonight when you close in prayer. Anybody like that here tonight? Put your hand up right back down. Never intend to make anybody doubt their salvation, but friend, your book's got to have that chapter, Born Again. Our dear Father in heaven, we're closing out the last few hours of this year, and it's been a wonderful year. Dear Lord, as I have reflected over this year and the tale that the year of my life told, I have been both blessed and I have been discouraged. I've been blessed and I've been embarrassed. And you know, Lord, the things that need to be different in 2006. As we turn the page to a new chapter, I pray that people in this church will come under the power of this truth. We're writing a book with our life. Every young person, every old person. Lord, help us to number our days. Apply our hearts to wisdom. Write good chapters while we can. Have strength and power to do it. Make us a blessing to somebody that's reading our life. I pray in Jesus' name, may we not tread water as these people did. Help us, Lord, to have a great 2006. Now, thank you for it.